This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Right to Cole. Shot clock resets to 20. Golki again. Yes!
Final furlong, Grant and Danny, for this week of madness. What a couple of days it's been out here at Tap Sports Bar, MGM National Harbor, where we are kicking it until 6:30. Kick off your future with the law firm of Kondorian Murrah. They are the official show sponsor for us here at Grant and Danny. They'll help protect your assets, update your will and trust, schedule a free estate planning strategy with one of their Fairfax-based attorneys. Visit kmlawyers.com. Mention G&D, get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Want to get back into the Tom Wilson suspension. He'll be missing the next 6 Caps games, starting tonight against the Hurricanes. We'll do that in about 10 minutes. But right now, let's get to the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app. Visit BetQL.com. Danny, I told you, I caught up with this guy on national CBS radio for BetQL a couple weekends ago, and I was blown away by his just deep knowledge on every college basketball team. They call him mid-major Matt. Matt Josephs, radio in Richmond, and a handicapper when it comes to college ball. Matt, thank you for joining us here on 106.7 The Fan. Grant and Danny, I wanted to start actually with the JMU-Wisconsin game tonight, a 5-12 matchup. A lot of our listeners are Dukes fans. Give me a preview, and what kind of chance do you give JMU in that game?
Well, I mean, I give JMU a good chance in this game, and it goes all the way back to the first day of the season when they went to East Lansing and beat Michigan State in that game in overtime. And, you know, the more impressive thing from actually in the beginning of the season was after winning that game and taking a bus to Kent State a couple of days later, they went and won that game in double overtime. And ever since then, they've had the attention of the nation. They have the nation's longest win streak. And talking to some of their players, they're not going to be intimidated. And I think that's part of the issue when you're the double-digit seed in these games, that you're the intimidated one and you're looking at Wisconsin and you see the name Duke and whatever, and you're like, oh, man, this is a great team. JMU is not going to be intimidated tonight. Now, the thing that I think is going to be interesting is Wisconsin is really bad defending the three-pointer. JMU shoots a lot of threes. So I think that's going to kind of tell us tonight. If JMU's on from three-point land, they're going to win this game outright. If they're not, and this game kind of slows down and gets played at Wisconsin's pace, then I'm a little bit worried about the Dukes. Also, it'll be interesting to see what Mark Byington does with the seven-footer for Wisconsin. When you look at what Stephen Kroll does, he just gets everybody else involved. And if you have to double him and leave some of the shooters open, that could be a little bit of an issue against the Wisconsin team that actually, unlike a couple of Wisconsin teams, has a little bit of an offense.
Yeah, you mentioned it. Wisconsin's a better offensive team than we're kind of used to, that plotting, let's win games in the 40s. They could score a little bit. For JMU, though, you kind of touched on here, but go deeper into it. If they've got a chance in the second half, what's happened to this point? And if they're getting the doors blown off, what happened?
Well, I think it's the three-point land. If you want to look, the Wisconsin Badgers are 345th in three-point defense. Now, they don't give up a lot of three-point shots because of the way they play defense. They get out on you. But I think JMU's going to have some opportunities. Here's the thing that works for JMU is they've got a bunch of different scorers. Xavier Brown had a tremendous first half in the Arkansas State Championship game. He's a guy who's been kind of reliable all season. Jalen Carey, their freshman, had a huge game against Arkansas State as well. And that doesn't even get to Terrence Edwards, TJ Bickerstaff inside. Noah Friedel is the guy who shoots from the outside. Julian Wooden. So it's like if they're getting balanced scoring from a bunch of guys, then I think they can win tonight. If one guy's having to do everything, that might be a little bit of an issue for a team that has so many different weapons.
Other games tonight that you think will be the most entertaining? We're getting off the air here at 6:30. I'll be plopping down on the couch for the second half of the day with eight games due to tip off. What do you like tonight in terms of most entertaining matchups?
So I think the most entertaining matchup is the game that has 174 over-under. It's Alabama and Charleston. And my worry for Charleston is this. Like, when you play against a team like Alabama and you play against these teams that want to play fast, they want to run, you can't run with them. And that's my kind of worry with Charleston is that they only know one speed. And so, look, we know Alabama doesn't play defense. Their defense is rather porous, and I think Charleston's going to be able to put some points up tonight. But I just wonder if the better thing is to slow down just a little bit, because if this game's played in the 80s possession wise, I just think it's going to benefit Alabama more. So it'll be interesting to see what Pat Kelsey does tonight. And then on the other end, when you look at St. Mary's and Grand Canyon, I actually have St. Mary's in my Final Four, and I think St. Mary's toughest game, or one of their toughest games, could be tonight against a Grand Canyon team that's going to be able to play them in their 50s, 60s type of game, that's going to be able to crash the boards like the Gales do, that's going to be able to play defense, that has a guy like Grant Foster who's really, really good. So I actually like St. Mary's to go really far, and I think if they get past tonight's game, like, I'm not as worried as I would be in the future.
Matt Joseph's with us here on Grant and Danny. I'm a good American citizen, which means I hate the Duke Blue Devils. I can't get a good read on them, though. I feel like they've still got a pretty high ceiling. I know they're a four seed. Filipowski's so good, it feels like Roach is on that Plumlee plan. It's been there forever. This is a good group, but it just felt like at times something was missing from them. What are their chances not only tonight, but here to make some noise in this tourney?
So I think they're soft. I think this is a soft team, and I think part of it is they get coddled a little bit in the ACC. You know, the officials give them extra calls, and Filipowski's always on the floor. I don't think I've ever seen a seven-footer fall as much as I've seen him fall, although Infali Dante was falling a lot for Oregon yesterday. But I just wonder, you know, we saw Kentucky with all those young guys struggle. How is Tyrese Proctor going to handle this? Mark Mitchell's a sophomore. Filipowski's a sophomore. You know, Jeremy Roach is the senior along with Ryan Young, but how are they going to handle this? Now, I don't think they lose tonight. Vermont's that team that always looks good in conference. They play decently in the non-conference, but every time they go up against a really good team, we're like, oh yeah, that's right, they're Vermont still, outside of when they play Syracuse. But I think this Duke team is going to go until probably like the Sweet 16 and then play a Houston team who's going to, you know, punch them in the mouth and make them have to work. And Duke doesn't want to work. They just want to go run up and down and occasionally throw the ball into Kyle Filipowski. So I think they win two games potentially, but Houston's going to send them home.
Our guest is Matt Josephs, who's breaking down the NCAA tournament with us. Day two of the madness here on this opening Friday. Couple of games ongoing right now. Auburn is really struggling with Yale, 53-46 lead. And then Colorado, the 10 seed, is up comfortably for now on Florida with still 12 minutes to go. That game's still in the balance. Anything surprise you there?
I mean, look, I think a lot of people like Yale because Yale was kind of tough in the non-conference, and Yale has, you know, they have a solid center type that should be able to, you know, bang inside with Johnny Broome. So I'm not surprised that this game is still close. I do think Auburn's going to win, because I think everybody wants to see UConn and Auburn in the Sweet 16, because that's going to be a tremendous game. And then Colorado and Florida. Florida's another team that just doesn't play defense. They want to outscore you. And in the NCAA tournament, you can't just be one of those teams that outscores you. I'll go back to Kentucky once again. What did they do all regular season? They outscored everybody, and occasionally they decided to show up and play defense. And you can't do that because everybody in the NCAA tournament has something that they can rely on. So it's great to play like that in the SEC. It's great to play like that in the non-conference. But when you go up against a team who's not scared of you, and when you go up against a team that can match you points-wise, then that system's just not going to work, and you're seeing that so far with Florida.
I know still a few games yet to tip off. Teams have yet to be in action, but we've got a pretty decent percentage of this first round down. Who was better than you thought they were? in a first-round game. Who made you kind of go, damn?
So that's interesting because, I think what we saw from UConn today, I know it's a 116 game, but, like, you know, they did what you're supposed to do against the 116. I got to go with Gonzaga, and it's not really so much that I was surprised because I like Gonzaga. I'm a mid-major guy, so I've rooted for the Zags, and it's a tough day for the people who hate Gonzaga because they all had McNeese State in the bracket. But, like, Gonzaga looked even better than I think even the most optimistic Gonzaga fans thought because – you know, when you look at McNeese State, they give a lot of three-point opportunities because of their defense. Their trapping defense leaves three-point shooters open. And when Gonzaga was hitting them early, then that was a massive issue for McNeese State because Will Wade then had to change their defense, and that left off EK and Watson open inside. I think Gonzaga was very impressive, even more so than the most optimistic person. I think they do well against Kansas tomorrow because I think Kansas, you know, you can beat a Samford without McCullough, but I just don't think you can beat Gonzaga without a star like that on the court.
At Mid-Major Matt on X, Mid-Major Matt, Matt Joseph's on Grant and Danny, wealth of knowledge when it comes to college hoops. I only want you to give me winners. Give me a couple of winners. None of the losers.
None of those
for
losers.
Tonight. I need a winner.
All right. Well, obviously, I mean, the way the Mountain West is playing, I mean, Utah State's still playing, and why anybody should have any sort of faith in them. So I would almost look for like a money line parlay, maybe put TCU together with Alabama tonight. Because I think both of them are going to win. The first thing everybody has to do, and remember this for next year, is anytime you see the Mountain West, just pick against them. The only thing the Mountain West is good for is beating Virginia. So other than that, this conference has been worthless. And remember, they were the loudest people after Selection Sunday complaining about their seeding, and they've done nothing to back it up. So got to remember to fade the Mountain West. Looking at tomorrow, I like Gonzaga. If you want to do something money line wise with them, I think they certainly are a good bet against Kansas. And then I kind of like Dayton a little bit against Arizona. I think Dayton can ugly that game up a little bit and slow it down just a little bit. So that's about 9.5 tomorrow. And I think North Carolina is just better than Michigan State. I expect this number maybe to come down a little bit because everybody wants to bet on Izzo. If this thing comes down to 3.5 or 3, I think Carolina is the bet because I just think they're the better team. And they're practically home. They're in Charlotte.
If there was a game between, say, like an Oregon team and Creighton tomorrow, where would you lean?
Oregon. Here's the thing. So you bet a Creighton game, you'll know the first 10 minutes as to if your bet's going to win or not. Creighton was shooting like 1,000% yesterday, and of course they won the game, and they won the game rather easily. But they're so three-point reliant that if their three-point shot is off, it's almost like they get confused and don't know what the heck to do. And Oregon's got length, and they've got size, and they've got speed, and they've got guards, and they've got everything that can make Creighton be sweating a little bit on this game. So I would lean to Oregon, but just know there's a chance that if Creighton's hitting their threes, they're not going to lose to very many teams in the country.
Matt, I'll let you out on this one. Last one for me. We're sitting at the MGM National Harbor Sportsbook here. Before I walk out of here, I can place a futures bet or two. I'm not getting great value necessarily on UConn, but they're certainly my favorite. Do you agree or disagree that UConn should be the play? And then give me another team you would bet on.
Yeah, I think UConn's the play here. And I think the other play potentially is Auburn. Like, I almost think that if you want to match up that Sweet 16 game, assuming Auburn gets past Yale today and wins that thing, I think there's some value on Auburn. Granted, you know, look, obviously, once you get past UConn, you still might have to play Illinois, and then you still might have to play Carolina or whoever comes out of that West region. But, like, I think Auburn, this early push that they're getting from Yale, I think it's going to focus them up. I really like this Auburn team. I actually have a future on Auburn from before the tournament that, unfortunately, I might lose because of UConn. But I believe in Auburn going forward.
Matt, great conversation, man. Really appreciate the time and intellect.
No problem. Thanks so much.
There's Matt Josephs. How silly are the Nuggets? Guy's got more nugs than Chick-fil-A. I get steamed up.
Just dropping the knowledge.
I love that. Basketball knowledge. All right, I want to get back to Tom Wilson because I thought that was a big, big deal. If you're just joining us or jumping in the car, getting out of work for your weekend, right before the top of the hour, about 20 minutes ago, the NHL and the Department of Player Safety dropped a 6-game suspension on Tom Wilson. I thought it would be 2 or 3. I think what they probably did is – maybe it was a 3-game suspension, and then they gave him another 3 for his Lifetime Achievement Award of the earned reputation, fair or not, of being reckless. And it was a reckless play. You can't hit a guy in the face with your stick, man. And I don't know that he two-handed it, I know everyone keeps saying he two-handed. I thought it was kind of one hand, and it was reckless and stupid. It was a bad moment. It was a bad decision. And when you've got the reputation he does, you're going to get suspended. I'm not sitting here telling you he shouldn't have. I have in the past been upset when he got suspended. That's
Agreed.
Not really what this is. A couple of games, three games, I would have said, yeah, that stinks in the middle of a stretch run here, but I get it. Six feels like a lot. In fact, we had Bailey Johnson on, who covers the Caps for the Post today, and she's been in D.C. for like 11 minutes. She actually covered the Blue Jackets. This is not some D.C. lifer, Tom Wilson apologist. She suggested two, maybe three games tops, which is kind of in line with how I was feeling. And here we are finding out it's six, which just feels like a boatload.
Yeah, it is. But, I immediately, as soon as Tom Wilson's involved and when I heard disciplinary meeting, I assumed it was going to be way more than we thought. This has happened before. I can't remember the exact incident. I was trying to look it up.
3 years ago.
Was it 3 years? Yeah.
He has not been suspended in 3 years. And all these people keep tweeting me and going, I don't understand what you don't get, man. He obviously should get penalized more. You know, he has a bad reputation. And the analogy I use is, if I have a bunch of points on my driver's resume because I got in accidents and moving violations and got pulled over by cops constantly from when I was 16 to 20, and then I go three straight years where I drive pretty well, my insurance deductible comes down. USA hits me up and they go, hey, bro, good job.
Good job.
Your rate came down. Does that never happen for Tom Wilson? He just went 3 years without a moment like this. We could even argue whether or not 3 years ago should have been what it was, but I won't even get into that because it seems like people don't want to play that game. But so it just forever then, in perpetuity, you're just going to pay for what you were, for 7 years ago? I'd like to update the file a little bit. Doesn't seem like they're willing to do that.
No, and so when we did this dance last time where a suspension we thought was coming, it was reasonable, and it was way beyond what we all sort of thought. The league has decided they're not Tom Wilson fans. So I always thought it was going to be more significant than it should have been. I mean, to me, it was a few games worthy, and you and I think, have both said multiple times, we call balls and strikes on this thing. I happen to be a Tom Wilson fan. I'm also able to put on a totally different hat and say, ball, strike, suspension worthy, not suspension worthy. Like, one time he got suspended because he hit a guy, a check that happened. And the guy was smaller than him and weaker than him and lost. So because he got knocked on his ass, they suspended Tom Wilson. No, that was ridiculous. This was not ridiculous in terms of disciplinary action. I thought that was appropriate. Should have been a few games, in my opinion. But six is the Lifetime Achievement Award, so to speak. And I guess the answer to your question is, do we update our file? We can. The league is saying, nah, we're good on that.
I mean, what a blow, though.
Yeah.
What a blow to the Capitals, who tonight, we already knew Wilson was unlikely to play because he's in New York for the hearing. This was going to come down today. But he's out now for six, including Carolina and Winnipeg this weekend. You do not have Protas tonight, who gives you some size. You do not have Oshie tonight, second time in as many games, which, by the way, he came back, played in a couple games, and he's out again, and it's kind of mysterious, which seems to be a bit of a reoccurring theme, sadly. It seems like his body has just kind of been abandoning him here late in his run with the Capitals. But without beating a dead horse, I mean, Kuzi's playing against you. He's in Carolina. Good trade. I liked it. But you got Mantha in Vegas. Good trade. I liked it. It's getting late early. I mean, we were really excited start of the week about the progress they'd made, and they're knocking on the door. What a tall order it is now for Spencer Carberry. He just doesn't have the horses.
No.
How many kids can you call up and expect them to play at a high level? Hershey's the best team in the AHL, but they don't really have guys to tap into now as resources to continue this level of play when you're playing against elite playoff caliber competition in the National Hockey League. So tonight at 7 o'clock against Carolina, you almost feel like it's a David versus Goliath kind of scenario in a game you need.
It certainly does. But, I mean, listen, and counting on what happens, say, in the Caps Stanley Cup run, right, where it's not even just Devontae Smith-Pelly. It's, Nathan Walker lighting the lamp in a critically important game and dudes that probably wouldn't be on NHL rosters for the most part if it weren't for a couple of crazy injuries. Yeah, that was lightning in a bottle. Doing that over the 82 regular game, 82 regular season type games, or down the stretch against the Carolina team that's way better than you, and has been playing great here of late. 100%, it's a tall order. They don't have different. They can come up and have guys that can skate and play in the NHL, not difference makers.
Darius just told me we needed a power play. You could just play the open. I mean, this kind of serves as like a 7-minute power play, I would say, on Tom Wilson. All the stuff we just said.
That was the power play?
Now you can play the outro to the power play.
Yep. We crushed it.
He gets down the line. He's like, we need a power play.
Guys, we need a power play. We need to talk. So what we do for the power play, if you guys have tuned into the show,
we talk about the Capitals.
Is we kind of give you a run through about the Capitals, what to expect tonight, what's going on, kind of the latest with them. I mean, we kind of did that.
That is the power play.
We sort of do that?
Major League Baseball. Yeah. What a Friday night news dump this is during the NCAA tournament. Of course, by the way, they wait till 6 p.m. on Friday at the close of business.
Uh-huh.
Quote, here's a statement on what's going on with Shohei Ohtani. Major League Baseball has been gathering information since we learned about the allegations involving Shohei Ohtani and Ipe Muzahari from the news media. Earlier today, our DOI began their formal process investigating the matter, end quote. They waited until everybody had gone home for the day, pretty much. They've now said their piece. They'll refer to this statement constantly. This will be what they say on the matter for probably at least the next several days, and they'll begin their internal investigation.
Couple quick follow-ups. Would you like this story to stay or go away, Major League Baseball? What is go away? Terrific. This is how you do that, I suppose. Right? Yeah, as you say, statement after hours, refer to said statement for several days, no info, no news, no nothing for a while on that. Yeah, they would like this thing to go away. Opening day, Dodgers, Ohtani, they want business as usual. But sorry, I think there's too much intrigue.
What a couple of days out here at Tap Sports Bar. We got to thank everybody who's helped us for their hospitality.
So
all
great.
Of our waiters, waitresses, bartenders. Tip your bartenders, Danny. They've been great. We appreciate them. Tons of listeners have come out, which was really, really cool. Get to mingle and take some pictures and hang out with the folks. Don't get to do that when we're in studio, so that means a lot. It's always nice to find out that people are listening. Sometimes it feels like you and I are just talking to each other.
It does feel
maybe
that
our
way,
wives every now and then check it out, but that's about it.
Yeah.
So it is cool when we get out to a actual venue like this where people come up and say they listen to the show. That is
it is always a treat. I will say.
Rewarding. Also, to Money Metal Chris, Ryan yesterday, Jeff today, Darius back in our Half Street studios. It's been a fun couple of days. What do you got on the docket this weekend, my guy?
On the Darnell. So I got practice, soccer practice tonight for my oldest.
You skippering?
I'm going to leave right now.
Are you the coach?
Well, no. This is the travel soccer. I can't be the coach of this squadron. I'm going to go pick him up. It's at George Mason, where they practice, which is really cool.
Home of the Patriots?
Home of the Patriots,
wow.
Yes. We've got a sixth birthday party for my little guy
this weekend,
which is cool, and a couple travel soccer games and the starts of spring seasons for my youngest as well. So it's I'm a busy little bee.
You are a busy bee.
Yep.
I think I'm going to try to take the kids to see Kung Fu Panda 4 tomorrow.
They're on four. Wow.
Big fan of taking the kids to the movie theater, so we'll try to do that.
Are fun. Those Kung Fu Kung Fu Panda. Those movies are fun every time.
I'm not one of the 66% of Americans that prefers to watch things at home instead of in the theater. I'm one of the correct 33%. So we'll go out to the theater. The kids like doing that. Get them some Skittles. Get them all riled up.
Yeah, they like candy. That's what they like.
And it's my wife's birthday on Sunday.
Oh, look at that.
So I'll have to figure something out so that I don't feel like I under-delivered and disappoint her.
Well, you don't want to overpromise, but you also have to deliver something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Enjoy the JMU game tonight if you are
Nuke boys.
Into such things. Thanks for checking us out. Caps hockey in about 35 minutes on The Fan.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.